trust fund allocations process and criteria for 2% state level reserve funding action item. We welcome Judge Rosenberg to the panel. Thank you.
At the left there. Yes.
Got it?
I'm fine.
We've, thank you, Chief, members of the council. We've kind of divided this up into two segments. We have item M, and then soon we'll get to item N. They're both the trial court trust fund allocation issues and decisions. I'm going to turn this over to Zlatko in about 1 minute. I just wanted to highlight the fact that we did have a trial court budget working group of 15 PJs and 15 CEOs, as well as, I believe, three AOC non-voting staff members. The budget working group this year was co-chaired by Zlatko and myself. We made, I think, a good, efficient team. I want to highlight the fact that there are four other members of the trial court budget working group who sit here on the council, and I'd like to thank them as well as all the members of the working group. We have Judge Earl, who is an incoming member of the council, who is an active member of the working group. Judge Ellsworth, as always, an active member of the working group, incoming member on the council. Alan Carlson, a very quiet, kind of a laid-back CEO member of the working group, and David Yamasaki, all members of the council, all members of the working group. Really was a great group. We did a lot of our work in subcommittees. Many of the recommendations that we present are out of the subcommittees. All subcommittee recommendations were vetted and discussed at the trial court budget working group, and all recommendations are, in fact, recommendations of the working group. Many of them had relatively minor, short discussions. Some of them had very extended discussions. There were, of course, disagreements on some, but most of the recommendations are unanimous. Some of them had some split votes, but they are the recommendations of the working group. I think the first thing we're going to deal with is the 2% state-level reserve.
Yes.
And we had a template that we were fortunate enough to be able to start with. You remember just a few months ago we did adopt a process for emergency funding. We use that as the starting point for our discussion.
Yes, thank you, Judge Rosenberg, and I look forward to the continued work of the budget working group. We have a lot ahead of us, and with Judge Earl coming in and being the co-chair in whatever form that we the budget working group moves forward, I look forward to the relationship. I think it was a good improvement to the process to have the co-chair, and I think that was a good idea that Jody had when we did that. So, yes, the 2% reserve issue was discussed at the council meeting last time in terms of the method by which we would take basically court funds to create this fund for emergent needs. And that generated $27.8 million that it was taken from courts and ultimately will be returned to courts. Not necessarily in the same level, but it will be returned to the courts by the end of the process. And we had eight members on the subcommittee, four judges, four CEOs, and we had a number of meetings in which we worked on this what was done. And Judge Rosenberg says a few months ago, well, it was 10 months ago that we adopted the urgent needs process, given the problems that were had come about from last budget cycle. And so there's specific language in the statute regarding the timing and process for us to follow. And so to some extent, what we were doing was we were melding our old process with the new process, and there was some opportunity for interpretation and decision-making by the council. So, again, as we discussed, we met several times. Ultimately, this was vetted by the trial court budget working group, and there were some good conversations about some of the parameters. In fact, the subcommittee wasn't fully able to come to conclusion, so I think it was a good process. We brought some open issues for the budget working group to take because there just wasn't a consensus, and I think that's good. And if you can see the numerous recommendations, and you can see them on attachment A, and I'll just go through them quickly. And if you have questions, then we can go on. First was that we maintain the concept that you have to have a negative fund balance to request the resources as defined as urgent needs. The statute defines the urgent needs as unavoidable funding, shortfalls, unforeseen emergencies, unanticipated expenses for existing programs. And we struggled a bit as to should we start to narrow the definition, but every time we started to put a boundary on it, we felt we could find an example that was outside of that. So that was a good conversation that the group had in terms of struggling with putting anything more than just what's already written in statute. We had to manage the timelines that were provided for in statute. The first sort of tranche of requests have to be submitted by October 1st with decision by the council by October 31st for unavoidable funding shortfalls. Then in terms of subsequent request, or in terms of the timing of that submittal, we felt that you could request it before October 1st. There wouldn't be action until October 31st. But we didn't want it to come the day after the budget came out. So we provided for a 60-day period after the enactment of the budget because we have to get allocations out. You may not know exactly where you're at. There might be actions by the council that may adjust where your budget picture is. So we felt it was important to give you some time to deliberate locally before you would come to the council for funding requests. Then any requests post the October 31st process must be submitted by March 15th, but no later than 25 days before a judicial council business meeting. Another issue that we wanted to tackle was the concept that there would be repeated and annual requests made for resources. This wasn't intended to be a pot for ongoing shortfalls, but there might be a situation where if you did come in, the terms that were used were you had to, if you were going to come in, you'd have a clear and convincing showing of why you were doing that. And we'll get to some information that a court would have to provide if it were coming in with a request to try and avoid a future need. For those courts who were submitting by the October 1st deadline, the decision was is that they could not receive any more funding than they had initially contributed to the pot. But to the extent that they requested additional resources, that could be reevaluated after the first allocation at the end of October. Another issue that we were struggling with was if you had received resources up until the beginning of the process, there is an end process in which any unspent funds are then distributed on a pro rata basis. And the statute says that courts will get the resources on a pro rata basis. The conversation was should we include those courts that had already received funds, but ultimately it was determined that the statute is clear that courts shall get whatever is remaining on a pro rata basis. So conceivably, you got funding through the process, and at the end, when there was monies left over, you would still get a share of those dollars.
Zlatko, yes. Just a quick question on that. You said that that's what the statute requires, that there be a pro rata distribution across all the courts?
Yes.
Okay, because when I read this originally, the first thought that went through my mind was whether or not unallocated, unexpended funds could be somehow applied to what would be known as the historically underfunded courts. The follow-on thought on my part was that perhaps because of the duration and the depth of the underfunding could become very confusing and perhaps very divisive, that equity suggested everybody get an equal share, but that's all academic because that's what this is what the statute requires.
And in terms of underfunded courts, we have had a good discussion at the budget working group about reevaluating the method by which we determine what our funding needs. So that is a separate and apart issue, is something that the budget working group is going to be looking at in terms of the model of determining what courts are funded above or below any particular line.
A very, very simple question.
That we had years to try and figure out. And in terms of the proportionate share, we're going to give it back the way that it was taken. So that is a consistency, and that's why that last bullet in terms of the process, it was your trust fund and general fund. The amount that you have, that was the calculation of your share, that's what you'll get back. So as we took it, we'll give it back. There was another point that in the preliminary estimates of your need, it was determined that as you went through the fiscal year that your position had improved, that we would ask that you return any unused funds so they would go to the pot so that you don't hold on to them unnecessarily. Now, I don't know how often that will happen, but we thought it was important to make it clear that if you estimated you needed $1 million and it turns out they only used 750, that 250 would come back to the pot for redistribution, either by courts who need it at the time or based on the pro rata share at the end of the fiscal year. Now, we also looked at the kinds of information that we had been previously requesting courts provide as part of the process. And what was important, we felt, was that we get a 5-year history of employee compensation and staffing levels. That was, a good indicator of, you know, what you've done both from a employee compensation and staffing. Have you been reducing? What have you done in terms of raises and things like that? I think it was a good discussion that we had there. And we did a little bit of tweaking on the information regarding judicial caseload backlog. We felt that, again, a 5-year period of filings and termination disposition information was helpful also to get a sense of judicial workload, court workload that you have. And this was an important issue as well, was explaining what it is that why you need the funding in the current fiscal year, if you had gotten it in a prior fiscal year. This is that clear and compelling need. It's in some cases, it might take a year or two to get beyond that fiscal breaking point. So we wanted to make it clear that you can come and ask, but you really have to establish, we're establishing a bar that says, we need to understand as a council what your plans are to move out of that fiscal problem. And so to that, we made it very clear that they have to include a plan that shows how they will work their way out of the budget problem in the next fiscal year. And I recall when we were doing this process before and San Joaquin was here, Judge Wesley made it very clear. He asked, what are you going to do to not be back before the council next year? And so we're making it an explicit issue now rather than waiting at the time of the council meeting that you should be providing us some level of information so we can assess, are you on a track to improve your fiscal condition?
And again, this one is not in relation to a one-time event,
right,
like a roof collapsing or flooding. It's for an ongoing issue.
Yeah, sort of core costs.
May I, Chief?
Justice Hall. Of course, Justice Hall.
Thank you. We also, a number of us, have set through in the last year a request for emergency funds, and I realize this is slightly different, but part of the conversation has been whether or not the funds should be deemed to be loans to be returned. Is that outside the discussion that we have here, or is that something that the committee...
No, the form does provide that you can request it as a loan or just a one-time allocation. We worked off of the template from last year, so that still is an option for a court to request.
All right. Thank you.
Although, do keep in mind that this money is essentially taken from the trial courts to be redistributed to the trial courts. I don't expect many loan requests.
Right. Well, and that was my thought. I mean, no, I doubt that. But that really this is their money to begin with.
Yes.
And so to ask it be returned to them in the nature of a loan would be inconsistent, I take it, with what we're talking about here.
And on that point, just if the council was unaware, that San Francisco has repaid their $2.5 million loan. I want to let you all know that what was approved last year was returned to the fund.
So I have a question on when you first started the presentation, you mentioned that, I think I heard this, and so correct me, but that in order to be eligible for receipt of this money, that the court has to have an anticipated negative fund balance. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I don't see that in the conditions, or maybe you could point to it, or does it need to be in the conditions or definitions?
I'm trying to remember if we had it established in the material.
Is it one of the conditions? I'm looking at the update. Where is it?
It's the very first. It's the very first one on the. It's not the very first one. Find a page number, but I can't.
It's on attachment C.
It's on attachment A. Summary of recommended process criteria and required information, and it's item small a.
So when I look at the recommendations on page 2.
It's not in there.
It's not there.
Okay.
It's because amendments are to the existing one, and that's one.
Thank you. Thank you.
You probably should have just repeated them.
Sure.
Make it real clear.
This wasn't Okay.
Thank you, Co-Chair Earl, for finding that.
Not yet. I'm not dead yet. I mean,
you're a lame duck, though.
Yes.
So, any questions or comments? Have you end of presentation slide? Judge O'Malley.
I am thrilled with the recommendations. I think it's just very thorough. I think it's very fair. I think that people who are going to be requesting, monies are going to have to give the council information that's going to be able to give us and allow us to make an informed decision on who best requires and needs these monies, and I'm really grateful for the input of the Committee of Eight. I think it was thoughtful, thorough, and it really is going to give us a very informed basis on which to make these very, very difficult decisions, and it was a very good job. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Ellsworth.
I was on the committee, and I will tell you we really wrestled with a lot of different things, but one of the things I think we wanted to convey was that the council would be able to look at any given court, especially those requesting more than one time, and more than just the clear and convincing or whatever language we used. It was an attempt to allow for not only the council to have a priority. You know, this court doesn't get priority necessarily because they've already received before, but also to examine the type of things and protocols that have been in place to not only operationalize how things are, but to kind of go and, since there was such an inequity of sweeping of these reserves, it starts to bring that playing field up where you have to examine your own courts mm-hmm. and how you're spending your money and in how you are trying to be more provident and efficient. So it really is to be a real set where it's a you look at everyone and we're trying to equalize the needs and then examine in a way that is trying to be helpful. It allows for other courts to help other courts in terms of trying to figure out what you can do to be more efficient so that you aren't a repeat individual, or even if you're asking for the first time, what are you doing to make a difference in your own court?
Thank you.
Chief, let me just say that we are really, if this is adopted, we're entering kind of uncharted territory in many ways, a brave new world here. We got very few requests for emergency funding under the prior rubrics.
Right.
I anticipate
one.
Yeah.
We're
going to be well. That's very few.
Yes.
I anticipate numerous requests, and this council is going to have to sit as a decision-making body on the many such requests.
Yeah. And I would just I think there was a question.
Angela yes. Davis.
I also commend the work of the committee, and I it seems very challenging, but. One thing that just occurs to me in reviewing the form and also having heard the comments that we heard yesterday is the question regarding the employee compensation levels and staffing changes I think is critically important in this environment, and I think it's actually something that is going to become an increasingly big issue for the council to deal with, compensation levels and how uniform or not uniform they are across the judiciary, not just in the AOC, but in all the different courts, and who's giving COLAs and who isn't, and who's giving all kinds of bonuses and who's not. And when I look at the actual form, what the form says is, please describe the employee compensation changes, e.g., not including, but e.g., cost of living adjustments and benefit employee contributions, and staffing levels for past 5 fiscal years for the court. And it just occurs to me that as we start getting people to fill this form out, I think there will be variation in the level of specificity and detail that we get in response to that question. I would actually like the question to be a little bit more specific and include maybe even have a chart that we require them to fill out. Not because there's so many different things that people can do. They can cash out vacation time. They can have new hires or temporary hires. And we really need this information, not just in terms of making decisions for individual requests, but also in terms of getting control of this issue, which I think we have to do.
And I would offer, Ms. Davis, what we will do is we will, on that particular issue, I think it's a fair point, and what we'll do is we'll have the subcommittee reconvene just to help frame a template of response. And I think that what we've done here is that we would have needed to look back at the process we approved last year anyways, and we would have had refinements. I think that just gives us an opportunity to incorporate some, and we'll always have improvements as we get this, because I know there will always be the next unanswered question that the council asks. So I think that would be fair, is to just sort of refer that particular piece back to the subcommittee to be determined.
That should not prevent the adoption
right.
of the recommendation.
No, not at all.
But that kind of detail, so we can compare apples and apples,
is
that's an exactly it. You just want to make sure you're getting all the same information mm-hmm. from the court, and that everybody's having to disclose all the mm-hmm. different ways in which those things can happen. So excellent point, and I think it should be standardized. Fill in the box exactly so that we really get all the information.
Absolutely. Alan Carlson?
The problem is, even if all of us got together, we wouldn't think of all the right boxes to fill it out. For example, what we've discovered in other things is there are benefit programs or management benefit programs that the rest of us never heard of that we discover a court has. I'm not saying it wasn't improper to do it in the first place, but suddenly you say, wait, if they got that benefit program, then you got that added in to all the other stuff, and it's very hard to come up with a chart that thinks of everything. Another example is a court that had done a salary survey and had adjusted all their salaries based on a salary survey. The problem a lot of us had was some of the courts they included in that salary survey, some of the counties, weren't comparable counties. So if you're including, San Francisco or Marin, for a county in, Imperial, we wouldn't have guessed that and put it on a questionnaire, but we need to know that kind of thing because it makes an enormous difference in the salary level. So you're absolutely right. We ought to try and get as much as we can, but we got to have boxes at the bottom or basically ask around, because that's the only way you're going to turn up this stuff to find out what's going on with the salaries.
Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. If it's not premature, I would move adoption of the recommendations set forth at pages 2 and 3 of the committee report, items 1, subdivisions A through J.
Second.
Judge Moss seconds. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Matter carries.